Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
About to commence.
Yeah, good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 7:05, Wednesday, October 20th. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming at KCNR1460.com, or you can send Linda emails at linda@kcnr1460.com. It looks like this could be, and Linda will get into this in a few minutes, could be the last of those big hot days. So we're kind of like, so enjoy today, walk around out there in the sun, like Bad Bob does. When Bad Bob's not dancing, he's out in the sun.
Me go boating in the sun this afternoon.
Me go boating.
That's right. And did you know that Bob was out there practicing his quick step this morning? And I tell you what, this is dangerous. Do not get around Bob when he's practicing his quick step.
Much to the amusement of Jimbo, I might add.
Yes, that's true.
Well, of course, we all want to know why you were quick stepping.
You would have to ask the boss about that one.
Oh. Okay.
Well, you know
don't
what?
You just speaking, love that?
Speaking
see
of,
if I can figure
speaking
that one
of
out.
The boss, here she is, Linda.
Right. Well, good morning. It is wonderful to be here today, and you would call this hump day. Is it a hump day?
Yeah, hopefully.
I never used that term. I always thought it
means this is the hump. You're over the hump. Today, yeah. Robert, sliding
yeah,
toward
yeah, but see, that's a negative connotation.
It
so
is
I,
hot.
I guess
what,
it is.
Hump is hump
everybody's
is,
working for the weekend.
Yeah.
Hump is negative.
Well, okay, it's currently 53 degrees. I just think it is, yeah.
I just want to bang on my drum
all
day.
How about top of the morn to you? It's the top of the morn. So 53 degrees. Right now, it's going to be 83 today. So, yeah, a lot of things to share with you yesterday. Of course, it was the Seroptimus Luncheon. And I want to thank Coach Bob joined me. It was very nice to spend time with him. And Heidi Marble was a very moving, incredible speaker. Of course, she was on yesterday, and so we got to hear
what an incredible
her
moment.
Testimony
I told her.
Was yeah. so powerful. There were a handful of men in the house. I think really next year would be great to see more men. You know,
who was there? Like for the men, like what, Rick Bassetti? Did
yes.
you say? Dick Dickerson?
Or? Dick and doctors. Uh-huh. And I'm not sure how many other men, but it was a beautiful event, and so now we're getting ready towards the weekend. Hello, love it when people
somebody's
in,
walking by giving us stuff. Okay, who do we have to say we're for this today?
No, I want to say Sons of Italy Bazaar is going on Friday, October 22nd, and Saturday, October 23rd. That's this weekend, of course. And so what they're asking is for you to join along with 28 crafters and vendors selling all kinds of unique gifts and items for your home, all made in the USA. There will be food and soft drinks available, so come spend the day and have a great time. That is going to be held at the Sons of Italy Shasta Lodge, corner of Kenyon and Cedars in Reading, 2453. Now, I don't know about you guys. I had this conversation yesterday. I know when you go to a silent auction, and or like this kind of event, and you purchase something. Do you think that when you go to a silent auction or you purchase something and you give it away for a Christmas present, when it's all beautifully wrapped, you've never touched it, you've never done anything besides, you know, have somebody's idea in mind, do you think that's tacky to re-gift?
No. Well, good, because we went to the frozen cow patty auction the other day, Bob. So we're going to have a few for you. Some of them have been glazed and one's been bronzed.
Good, because I think today it's about it's a thought. If it's brand new, you know, here, I'd like to give this to you. And
There's nothing wrong
thoughtfulness.
With that. Yeah.
I know some people would think I think there was a time when people thought that was tacky, but I really even think now so.
How would they know unless you told them?
Well, perhaps.
Well, really, how would they know unless you told them? Unless they were at the same auction and bid on it.
What if it said it was a donation for a certain particular event? Inside, you didn't open it up, but it said a donation for Bubba.
So then you were ratted out by something that was written inside?
I don't think I'm ratted out. I think it's okay. I think it's nice because what you're doing is you're giving your money to for a local charity. And I think everybody wins on it, by the way.
I think regifting is a sustainable practice.
Yes, it is.
You know,
thank you.
You know what? If you play it just right and you don't use it, you could use the same gift probably for years.
But do not give the same ring from an old girlfriend to a new girlfriend. Do not. do
my
that.
Relatives in, my former relatives in Southern California had a fruit cake that made the round for about 8 years.
probably got better every year.
I won't tell you what my family had. Or maybe I will for a really great joke. When we come back, I'll tell you about that. Maybe you have a story, too. 605-4567. Unfortunately, our chat room is down. It is being reconstructed, literally. Reconstructed.
He's rewriting whole programs on this.
The whole thing. We did have somebody come in and really screw the whole flow up. Sorry about that. And what we're doing is making sure that we're very protected, and the program is being rewritten. So
we're going to make it again better. Faster,
yes, stronger. Yes. Stereo. Yeah. So please bear with us. Come back after these messages. I'm going to tell you about what the Snook family passed around for years. Carl and Linda Bond here on Free Fire Radio 1460.
Welcome to you. It's Carl and Linda Bott, 7:14 in the morning, October 20th. Now, there's something the Snooks give back and forth here.
Well, we used to. Okay, so, you know.
I mean, have I seen it yet?
No.
Okay.
Well, maybe you did, because it was something that went back and forth, just like Bob said, their fruit cake. We used to have a blown-up frog.
You mean like when it exploded?
Well, no, it was a big old blown-up stuffed frog that would go from Christmas to Christmas, and it would be decorated, and then every now and then it would there'd be firecrackers around it. So 4th of July would come appear, Easter it would appear, and it had different costumes. Today we probably would do a whole website around it, and it would have, like, you know, its own chat room and everything. But
let's not mention chat room; people are so upset. Our
speaking
web,
of being upset,
yeah, our web designer has been working on it for hours. But you know what? Something happened over the last couple of days, and we were involved in with this earlier. It's the ice cream truck music caper, as it started, you know, during the summer, where somebody complained that, oh, my God, this is loud. You know, it's got the decibels of almost a hairdryer, but not quite. And so the police had to get into it because a citizen's arrest was made. So the police have to get into it. It's not because they wanted to get into it, trust me. As Peter Hansen says, but they have to. They have no choice. So they got into it. So then the city clerk, I think it's the city clerk, in her wisdom said, well, look, you know, you can have music, but it's got to end at 7:30. Well, 7:30 during the summertime, there's plenty of lot of light left, and that's when the kids are coming out. It's cool. It's after dinner along the streets there. But how are they going to know unless there's music? So this was going to go to the city council. And we had the owner of the ice cream trucks on yesterday. And today, one of his premier employees, Kent, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. And how are you?
You're here.
Great.
Good. I am here.
And tell us what happened.
Well, with your help, we won. We have to abide by 75 decibels at 150 feet, and we are able to run until dark.
There you
wow.
go. Wow. Sundown, yay.
And we had a good crowd there supporting us last night. And so in return for your help, I brought you ice cream this morning.
Oh, man.
Okay, and you know what? They look like, what, those Nutty Buddies or something?
No, they're called Super Cones. They're the
Super Cones. Okay, all right.
Just what Linda needs this morning to keep her
break out the insulin.
There we go. Hey, you know what? Yesterday it was donuts, as long as we said Bassetti, Cad, and Jones, which we did as soon as they showed us the donuts. And today, do you want us to say anything?
No, just...
go team!
Go team.
Well, you know, I'm glad they won. I'm glad the city council, you know, I hope there's a little bit of humor associated with it. And, you know, the fact is, come on. You know, summer ice cream trucks, that's part of your heritage. It's part of your life.
Americana.
That's Americana. You know, who knows? Next year they could be the ice cream trucks, and then right behind it the marijuana truck selling it off the side of the street. Because everybody knows it'll be okay.
Perhaps as a friendly gesture, you should change the theme that the ice cream trucks play. You know, something a little more suited
like
to the neighborhood which you'll be traveling through.
There you go.
Yeah, well, is there? That's a good idea, though, seriously. I know that there's a whole sound of the music that comes in from the ice cream truck. How cool would it be to have the A button and the B button? And the A button would be a little like Michael Jackson or Lady Gaga kind of coming out.
Well, first of all, then I'd march against that. You know, I would be the next complaint, you know, Lady Gaga on my street.
Now, yeah. When I was growing up, ice cream trucks played Brahms' Lullaby. They all played Brahms' Lullaby, and sometime during the 80s, it all turned into Music Box Dancer. And I think that's because the Chinese were making the music boxes or something.
Well, why not?
But did you notice that
control,
shift?
They control all of our money here.
Wouldn't that 80s? Be interesting to have one of our listeners that likes this kind of trivia to give us a little history? Because I'd like to hear how it went from Brahms to da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Well, you know, Bob is right. And every once in a while, I'll go along and I'll ask a customer that I have, if you can name this tune, I'll give you a free ice cream. 90% of the people don't know the music.
Wow. But everybody's heard it.
Yeah. But they think it's just the Music Man's music. You know, they don't know it's the Music Box Dancer.
I was spinning vinyl when that song came out. We played it until it was just like locked into my cranium forever. You know?
Now,
really,
what's vinyl?
Yeah, because I just dated myself.
Now, believe it or not, we do have a total of 32 songs we can play off
really?
Of our box we have inside our truck.
Right. What, and so during Halloween, or during October?
We can't program it in. It's just pre-selected different numbers on our box. We play different music.
I'd love just out of curiosity, know what those 30 songs are.
Well, when...
Okay, I'll bring the truck over and we can go through it and see how many you know.
Why don't you just stand outside and listen to it? You know, we want to start right now.
Well,
okay, look, we're glad if we were able to play a part in this. We're glad that that we actually had some common sense on the city council here. Hey!
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, it's sundown, you know, and to quit it at 7:30, it was just an arbitrary time frame given by somebody who's wrong.
Right.
You know, without using common sense, which unfortunately seems to be, you know, runs rampant through government. But, you know, our city council took a look at it. What was the vote?
It was unanimous.
Unanimous? Okay. 5-0. Yeah. Okay. You know what? The city council can vote on something that's really important, like ice cream trucks. Too bad they can't get it together on those little things like budgets.
Well,
anyway.
Like, one last thing here is before the vote, most of the city council, in fact, everybody said, why are we even here visiting issue?
Why are we?
Because we have more important things.
Because there's some city bureaucrat that goes, oh.
And he was there last night, too.
The one who made the decision? I thought it was a woman.
No, it's a guy.
Okay. Well.
Yeah, some guys can do that, too.
Hey, how's that feel? 5-0.
Some guys can do that, too.
Okay, Kent, thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Drive around the block a few times. We'll get that ice cream around 9 o'clock.
All right.
Okay, unless Bob wants to eat it during the breaks. Okay,
no.
Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR. Hey, when we come back, again, it looks like the people have spoken. KIXE. They're going to put Democracy Now! On a ballot. Maybe, but maybe not back on the TV. Join us after these messages.
You know you smell. You know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels.
Yeah, welcome back to KCNR 1460 Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott, 7:25 in the morning. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
And taking your emails.
Taking your emails to Linda at KCNR1460.com. Hey, Halloween's getting up quick on us here. Okay, stand down. There's going to be, we've talked about it, we've had people on, we're going to keep talking about it. We're having the stand down, North Valley Stand Down Association for all homeless veterans. Hand up, not a handout. October 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, that's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Shasta District Fairgrounds. And they're going to help people. It'll be a temporary homeless shelter for veterans and their families. And it's not just veterans, it's their families also. Job services and unemployment insurance information, court assistance with misdemeanors for Shasta County. That's misdemeanors. You have felonies. I don't know how much they can help you with those. Driver's license, ID information, drug and alcohol counseling. Big thing, Veterans Administration benefit information. You're a veteran. You served. You rate certain benefits. You need to find out what they are. Anyway, they're going to also be able to transport people there. And for more information, call Jim Richards at 530-356-0342. 356-0342. Now, if you remember,
a couple other announcements, and coming up in the next break, we have somebody special out in the house.
Yeah, Greg Catteray of the Colt 45s.
Yeah.
We'll be here.
I just wanted to also remind you that the weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. It's 7:25 in the morning. It's going to be 83 today. I wanted to give you a number, 474-5546, and that's the number for Anselmo. This weekend, Saturday night. First time I'm doing music out there on a Saturday night from 6 to 9 with my favorite trio, Bruce, Kalen, Dan Kinkle, Johnny Gonzalez. It's going to be a spectacular night. And
new music, too.
Yeah, doing some new music. Now, on the 30th, want to remind you, what am I going to do for Halloween? They are going to be having a fun 50s soiree, elegant evening. Costumes required. So it's about dressing like your favorite movie star or gangster, that kind of thing. No poodle skirts, not that 50s, but the 50s of film noir. Lots of fun. Clark Gable, Betty Page, Marilyn Monroe. It's wine club members and also open to the public, and that is the 30th. So check that out. That's going to be a fun night as well, and we'll be up there. So 474-5546.
Okay, you know, a few months, well, I guess it was a month ago or 6 weeks ago or so, maybe a little bit longer. KIXE and got a new general manager, Phil Smith. And Phil Smith is a likable guy. We've had him on the show before. Decided while he was going through the programming that he would take a show called Democracy Now! Off. He felt like it, you know, really was not a, it was not a non-biased type of show. You know, and he and PBS prides themselves on being a trying to be in the middle kind, you know, not a Fox, not MSNBC, not, you know, those kind of things, trying to be as fair as they can. He looked at Democracy Now! And he said, you know, this really doesn't fit into what we believe, you know, into our station programming. So he pulled it off the air. Well, 2.5 weeks later, somebody noticed it, that it had been pulled off the air. You know, I don't mean to offend people, but it's true. 2.5 weeks later, somebody finally knows it, and somebody wrote to the paper, and the paper, being a slow day, made it a headline. Somewhere in between, they left out Afghanistan and Iraq, but this made it in there. So what happened was a huge brouhaha about, oh my God, Democracy Now! Is off. Now, if anybody has ever seen Democracy Now!, give me a call and tell me what you think of it. I have seen it. I have seen Democracy Now! I have my thoughts on it. Anyway, but that's neither here nor there. But Phil Smith took it off. Well, then there was a number of people who said, well, how can you do this? How can you take this show off? And he met with them, and all these people said, well, you know what? We're going to pull our support of KIXE for the censorship. Well, you know, and Phil said, well, you know, I wish you wouldn't do that. I wrote, Duke and Barr wrote, and, you know, Duke and Barr and I agreed on something that's probably strange. You don't need to pull your support from KIXE because of one show when they've got hundreds of other shows that are just so incredible. And I'm going to finish this when we get back on the other side, just a couple minutes. This is Colin DeBott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, Carl and Linda Bod. Good morning. It is 7:34, almost 7:35. October 20th, phone lines here, 605-4567. And I'd like to say you could get our chat room. Our chat room is being rebuilt. It's hours and hours of him rebuilding it to make sure nobody else can get in like that.
Taking your emails.
We're taking your emails at Linda at KCNR1460.com. That zipping sound is Bob's vest, nothing else, so don't get too excited out there.
Currently 52 degrees. It's going to be high today of
85. You know, let me finish up on what we were talking about before. I didn't have enough time. I timed it wrong here. KIXE and what they are doing, Phil Smith, with KIXE is Democracy Now! People, you know, threatened to drop their memberships. Other people said they're going to join. Anyway, they've got 79 more members now than they did back in August when all this brouhaha started. So, but, you know, Phil put into his newsletter to say, hey, look, if you want Democracy Now! Back on, let's vote for it. And he's put a ballots out there. And the way you vote is you join KIXE. And you become a supporter of the PBS channel, our public broadcasting station here in Reading, which we should keep strong and viable. And, you know, and say, okay, so he says let's vote. You know, Doug Craig, who led the charge to get Democracy Now! back on, and his blog today is saying the same thing. You know, it's time, you know, for $24 you can join the public broadcasting system, and you can also vote then about whether you want to have Democracy Now! On or off, or if you really care. I mean, there's so many other great shows on there. Anyway, but Phil Smith, the general manager, will be on our show tomorrow morning at 7:30, and we're going to talk about that and about KIXE and, you know, its future, where it's going, all that. But now, boys and girls, children of all ages, we have Greg Catterway from the Colt 45s. Good morning.
Good morning.
Need to turn you up a little bit, okay. Get you closer. Okay. Now, you're here for a great reason.
Yeah, we have our Shoot for the Future benefit coming up on November 5th and 6th at the Colt Redding Colt 45s and the Cal Waterfowl Association youth hunting programs, and the Major League Baseball alumni are going together to help raise some money for the youth hunting programs and also for Colt 45s and our youth programs and a little bit of our stadium debt that still needs to be paid off. And we're doing a golf tournament on Friday the 5th. With a dinner auction, we've had numerous wineries and Manton and stuff donate nice wine. That we're going to have some real good wine tasting that night. We'll have a former or current major leaguer as a captain for each team. And then on Saturday, we have a sporting clays and pheasant hunt competition going on. With the same thing, you'll have a pro in your group. It might be a different one, so you get a chance to meet a couple different pros and play with them all day. And you know, good food, good times, and a lot of good fun.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. And where's it going to be at?
At Rolling Hills Casino.
Okay.
So they have the.
What are the dates again, sir?
November 5th and 6th. So they have Seviano Links, the John Daly Golf Course down there. It's a really nice golf course, and then they have the Clear Creek Hunting Club behind it.
And that's the real reason, you know, when you get down there, is so that you could have the hunting. Or the shooting area, I should say, and the golf course, all in one area and a place to stay.
It was one of the few facilities around that could do both of these things together and a place to stay. And gets a little closer to the major urban areas for me to pull these ball players out of. It's, of course, right now with the Giants' success, it's a little tougher for me to pull some of the Giants' guys up here. And hopefully they'll be winning the World Series a couple of days before that.
Well, see, then if you get a couple of them up here, it could be like a great thing, you know, so people could play golf or go shooting with. Yeah. Part of a World Series team.
I want to hear it again. Do you mind if you just go tell me, give me a visual? Of course, I'm like many people, it's a visual. November 5th is what? We show up to Rolling Hills Casino. What are we doing?
We're going to be golfing at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And you'll have 18 holes of golf, some fun events on the course. We'll have like a one hole where you have a sporting clay shoot. You know, you actually shoot a shotgun on a hole and get some extra raffle tickets and stuff like that. You know, a lot of fun like that. And then that night at Carlino's here, we have a very nice dinner, a lot of wine, a lot of raffle items, you know, guns from the Cal Waterfowl Association we provide. And we have hunting trips, fishing trips, foursomes of golf from all around, stuff like that that will be available. And, you know, of course, your pros will be there to eat dinner with you and you know, expound with a few stories. And the wine's good. I'm sure the stories will get better, too, as the night goes on.
Yeah, never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Exactly. It seems to happen that way. So then, okay, so we spend the night down there. The rooms are on your own.
Rooms are on your own. Okay. They've got two hotels there. I think $93 and $99, depending on the Ramada and the other hotel right there.
And then the next day?
And the next day, we have 9 o'clock in the morning. We're doing a sporting clay shoot, a half round, so 50 rounds of clay pigeons, 12 stations with your pro. And then we'll have a pheasant hunt where two guys will go in the field with their pro. They get four shotgun shells apiece, I think is the way we're going to do it right now. And the pro gets two, and they got four birds in the field. Got dogs, we provide the dogs. And you got a certain amount of time to clear the field. You get points for, you know, fewer shots, use extra shells, miss a bird, gets away, you lose some points, stuff like that. You know, it just be a good time that way, and they got great birds down there, so they got their birds fly really well.
So you can buy the package.
You can buy the package. It's $300 for golf or $300 for hunting or $550 combined, and you get $100 worth of raffle tickets with that. That includes a dinner, $50 plate dinner that night. You know, everything's included. We got the $75 tea package for you in the clubhouse. You get to spend $75 for the golf. We got a new pair of hunting boots for you, an $85 pair of hunting boots for the hunting side of it. And we're looking to have a good time and get some people out there and get them to mingle. You know, I don't have a solid list yet. Like Will Clark is trying to come, but he's working for the Giants again. And Dusty Baker can't make it. Talk to him about it. Some of my old A's and Giants teammates, I'm trying to drag as many of them up here as I can and still trying to nail some of them down. A lot of them still do things associated with the Giants.
Sure.
Spider Blue is doing stuff with the Giants still, and they're still playing when most teams are at home.
I tell you what, let's take a quick break and we come back. Let's talk some more about that. But let's talk baseball a little bit, too, because, you know, people are starting to get pre-fired up here with the Giants.
Yeah, they're looking good.
Yeah. Okay, Carl Underbot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl on the bot. 7:44 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest walk-in cigar humidor in the state. Espresso Joe's. Get that coffee. Starting to cool off, my friends.
Join us Friday.
Yeah, we're going to be there Friday at noontime.
We want to see you there.
Proposition 19. Bring it down and bring it on. You know, there's people that believe that we should have marijuana just to run rampant through the state, even more than it is. And, you know, like I said, you know that ice cream truck driving down the street with that ice cream? What's to keep the marijuana truck right behind it? Of course, some people would like that and be playing something from Cheech and Chong.
Vending machines.
Yeah, hey, there you go. Except, anyway, we're going to be talking about that. Proposition 19 impact it could have on us. So let's get down there. Let's get vocal during this thing. It'll be on YouTube. We'll just let the rest of the country know what California and North State thinks about this. Hey, our guest is Greg Cataray from the Reading Colt 45s, and they're doing a fundraiser here for the stadium to finish the stadium off. And now this stadium, Greg, it's not just for the Colt 45s.
No, I mean, we had to have partners in this thing to get it going, you know, and so Simpson University was kind enough to donate the land to this, and they've done an awful lot to help us in the fundraising department. It's a true partnership, but it's for the community.
That's right. It is for the community, and it's, I mean, different teams can play there. You're going to be putting on baseball camps. You have a very successful baseball camp program.
Right. And we did 96 kids this year that we gave them about a $350 value for $70, you know, and age tickets, stuff like that. And we'll be able to help the low-income, you know, availability to the field. We've talked to Cal Ripken Baseball about possibly being their West Coast branch of Cal Ripken Baseball out here and try to open up the opportunities to higher level instruction and stuff that's tough to get. And, you know, we'll use all-star games, you know, playoffs, stuff like that. Now we have a better field to play on, a little more of a fair surface for people when the stadium's in good shape.
And you know what? Hot dogs, baseball in the summer,
and
Thursday night, half-price beer.
That's what it's been. It's a good night for us.
You know, Greg, let's talk a little bit about what's going on now in baseball. The Giants look like they're in the fight here.
Well, listen, it was nice for the Giants. It's tough to get to the playoffs, you know, and they have great pitches, so it keeps them in the ballgame every day. But when you get to the playoffs, if you can get one guy hot, one guy to carry you that's coming up big like Cody Ross is, you know, you can do it in a short series, especially with their pitching, because every game's tight and every game they're close, and their pitching is coming through and doing that job, and Cody Ross is hot. Now, they win a couple games with him. Now it takes one other guy at the right time, a big swing, you know, and that's what changes everything. Obviously, I was in the 88 World Series, and Kurt Gibson hit the, you know, one-legged, one-armed home run, and you know, it beat us. It was game one. People think it was game seven, but it made all the difference in the world because
that was game one.
That was game one.
You know, because I would have bet that that was a different game than just game one because, I mean, you had six more games after that. But,
yeah.
But that, did that do something to you all?
Well, the thing was, it was the year Oral Hershiser came off, whatever that was, 69 straight innings without giving up a run.
Yeah.
And they went seven games with the Mets. So it was just like Cliff Lee in this situation. He wasn't ready to throw game one. You know, they had Tim Belcher on the mound. If we beat him and Oral beats us the next day, it's 1-1. Well, they beat us with that, and then Oral throws the next day and abuses us, you know. And so it set up the series for him. That's what the same thing. Like Texas winning, you know, one of their two, it got him to Cliff Lee in game three, you know, even, and a chance to go ahead. And that's huge, and that's what that home run did for them. And it made them believe and maybe threw some doubts because we were in the same situation. We were off for like 7 days like the Yankees and the Phillies are off right now. And sometimes it's tough to keep sharp. When you've been playing for, you know, 200 days, aches and pains show up. When, you know, when you're, you keep the motor running every day, you're okay.
As long as you
shut down
moving
for a couple of days.
Wow.
Everything tight. Well, you know,
Michael
this
Phelps.
Is, I mean, I'm kind of taking everything we had planned for the rest of this segments off because how often you get somebody that's actually played in the World Series on your show? And, so what's that like? I mean, you've played a hard season. I mean, you've worked your way into that, but now you're at the epitome. This is it. What's different about it?
The intensity on every single pitch. The slightest mistake, you know, makes you a hero or goat for the rest of your life, possibly. You know, so that intensity of that and knowing that, you know, everybody's going to see it. Everybody's watching. You know, it's just the whole focus is just so narrow, and it's such a short-term deal. It's not like, okay, we lose two out of three, we win two out of three next week, you know, it evens out. It doesn't even out anymore. You can't make a mistake.
Well, I think about the kicker in football games and how that the game depends on that kick and the attention and whether that's going to win or lose the game. So we do watch so much, the pitcher as well, and how's he going to throw? And I just think about the physical aspect, the mental and the physical has to meet and execute perfectly, and with the dynamic, the air, the quality of the, how much does atmospheric conditions really affect you?
I mean, anything. That's the thing about it. You can do everything and execute and still turn out wrong. The guy hits it on the end of the bat and bloops it in the right spot. You know, you can make your pitch. You know, you get a rock and get a bad hop. You know, all those little things, an umpire can blow a call. You know, I mean, all those things can come against you. You know,
you know, we've got to take a break here, but umpires blowing calls. Are we seeing more of that, it seems like?
No, I don't. Oh, well, it's probably probably fewer. But because of review, uh-huh. Now you know it. And everything's on the radio, on the internet, yeah. You can go back and look at it yourself, and so now it's pointed out more. Just like every politician's mistakes in life. You never used to hear about them, now they're back there talking to your eyes.
You can't walk down the street without somebody with a phone cam and saying something to you, and God help you if you say the wrong word, because it becomes viral. Right. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Our guest is Greg Cratteray from the Colt 45s. We're talking about a fundraiser, but we're also talking about World Series and baseball here. He's probably one of the few in this town who's got the experience with it.
Hey, this is KCNR 1460 on your dial. We're so happy when you join us. We love it. Good morning. How are you? 52 degrees, 753, and it's going to be a lovely day with the temperature's coming up to about 85.
This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. Right off Airport Road, Doug Tooley and his guys put in Dish Satellite. They did put in home theater system, surround sound. 244-1988. 244-1988. It's time. Hey, you know what? It's football season. It's the World Series. You have a little problem with that TV. Give Doug Tooley a call.
Well, he came by the other day and said he was going to give us a Cadillac control.
Oh, boy.
Because and I'm waiting for the Cadillac control.
We need that, Doug, because the forum that we have is just a little bit too much for us. Our guest, Greg Cratteray from the Reading Colt 45s. We've been talking baseball because Greg is probably one of the few that's been in a World Series that lives here. Does anybody else live here in Round Reading that's been in?
I've only really been in the playoffs. I'm not sure. I think Bill Plummer, the Reds have been in the World Series.
Linda, you had a great question.
Well, I was talking about sportsmanship and how... has sportsmanship changed in the game?
Definitely. And what we, little older people, we envision as sportsmanship. You know, I mean, we thought it was, the people have done with the game and respect what they've done. And you know, you have a tendency to just be quiet when you win and not lord it over people. Nowadays, with the ESPN moment, people want to get their time they have a tendency. We always called showing up your opponent with one thing you never used to do. And now it's, bat flips on home runs and stand over people after you tackle them. And I always thought that was part of your job. I mean, but now they have to celebrate it and get their time on TV. And so it's changed. And, that's just all of our culture. A lot of it's a lot more of, get on YouTube and post a thing of myself on there and stuff like that. It's just different. We have to adjust to it. We're old fogies, I guess.
I don't know. Should we adjust to it, or should we try to keep a code of standard? And when we have that team, we just talk to them about how nice it is to say yes, ma'am, and a one-finger salute is not.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't. My wife always lets me know that. I'm very hard about that. Especially, I get college players from all over the country.
Good.
And I don't let them, we still wear our uniform a certain way. And I tell them, we win with class and we lose with class. And that's the way we're going to do it. And if they don't like it, they're in the wrong place.
I
adjusted
great.
A little bit, but
yeah.
I haven't adjusted a whole lot.
I think it's great to have some strict codes.
You know, during the World Series, how much pressure do you put on each other on the team? It's already enough pressure. But is there team meetings say, "Hey, come on, guys, we got to suck this one up today," or we, does everybody at that point they are there?
You're putting pressure on yourself. There's people might get vocal, but they don't need it. It's just more of a what you're used to doing with guys. But you're there and you play your whole career a lot of times and never get there. And so when you do get there, you don't need any extra, motivation. You might need someone to help you relax. That's the thing. People can get uptight, and that's why so often you see in sports the team that gets there the first time doesn't win, even though they might have the better team, because they don't know how to handle it. They put too much meaning on it. They worry about failure too much instead of worrying about success. And then the second time they get back there, they get through those things a lot of times, and that, that's when they win. And that's the reason why a lot of times. It's a tremendous amount of pressure.
Just got a couple minutes left. Favorite baseball movie?
For the love of the game. You know, Kevin Costner made a lot of movies, but that one, was he came out with that about the time I was finishing my career, and that's kind of what that movie was about, and kind of struck home. So it, it's one I always enjoy. It's not quite as Bull Durham, but I enjoy them all.
He's had several baseball movies. Yeah. You know, the Field
but
of Dreams.
The Spirit. That Spirit.
The Spirit, yeah, I think of baseball. Yeah. And then the Bull Durham, which was, you know what, that to me was, it was a character study of somebody toward the end of his career also.
Mm-hmm.
That's helping somebody. But this other love of the game.
Well, thank you for what you do, because what you've done is you've taken this great expertise, years of experience, and you're here in the North State. You're passing along your knowledge. You're passing along a legacy. And that is so very important with our young men and women who can look to somebody who's been there and a wonderful example.
So how do people get tickets now? Again, one more time.
They can go to calwaterfowl.org.
Okay.
And also Redding Colt 45 page. But you can sign up at calwaterfowl.org. They have 22,000 members, so they were a little better set up to handle this, online and all that kind of stuff. And sign up there and get more information.
Is there a phone number anybody can call?
They can call Cal Waterfowl at 916-648-1406 is Cal Waterfowl's number. And they can give you more information, too, but a lot of it's online nowadays. It makes it easy.
Cal Waterfowl. Mm-hmm. Okay, so and then they can sign up and join the baseball pros for a day of golf and a day of shooting.
Come down for Shoot for the Future.
All right.
We'll have a good time.
I think it sounds like a great deal and a great time for everybody, Greg. Well, thanks a lot for showing up today and sharing with us some baseball, too, because this is, it's time of year. Maybe, later on as we get into the series, maybe we can get you back up here.
Oh, yeah.
Have you give us, a synopsis of what you think's going on.
I'll get my little play-by-play in here.
Come on in here and say, okay, go after the, after we get into it, talk about the games and use your expertise and say, look, things that people would miss because we don't really know what to look for except, a swing and a miss or something.
Well, that's the really fun thing about this series that's going on right now. For me, they are a series of pitchers.
Yeah.
The games are low scoring, and some people don't appreciate that anymore. But, for low scoring games, everybody has to do things right.
Yeah.
High scoring games, people usually make a lot of mistakes. So for a person that's a perfectionist and did this, it's very important.
Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio. Our guest in the next hour is Nicholas Webb. He's going to tell us how to innovate your business and how to innovate business completely. This is KCNR 1460.
KCNR Shasta Redding.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. Carl Lindebaugh at 8:05 on October the 20th. Gosh, pretty soon it's going to be Halloween. Bob, what's today? What's the date today?
Today would be October 20th.
Okay,
yes.
So why the mask? Okay, come on, tell me why. You were dancing earlier, you're unzipping things during the show, and now you got the mask on. I wish people could see what I have to put up with.
That can be arranged.
Okay, hey. Hey, welcome back. We've had, in our last hour, we talked about the ice cream wars, which we won. So you can have ice cream music being played till sunset during the summer. Yeah, I guess during all times of year. Then we talked about KIXE. We talked about how letting people vote on democracy now. And Greg Cattery from the Colt 45 is talking about fundraisers they're having. And also, Greg is probably one of the few people that live in Redding that have actually been in a World Series as a player. And back in 1988. And we talked about World Series. We talked about baseball also, besides just the fundraiser they're doing. And now, in this segment, we have,
okay, I guess a good title would be that you are all about innovation.
Right. I'm a strategic innovation management consultant is my day job. Yeah.
And you have mastered.
I think
you
so.
Are into the mastery of innovation.
Well, I have 35 patents, and my success rate's about 80% compared to 2% nationwide, so I think that's right.
And you're like the Redding's best-kept secret on certain levels. You are so... you live here. I've met your beautiful children and wife.
Thanks.
And we are talking to the great Nicholas Webb. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You have a new book out.
Yes.
And this is book what number in your series?
Well, if you don't include my cookbooks, this is my first major book with a major publisher, but it's in total my second book. And what's exciting about it, a book was released to bookstores worldwide on Monday of last week, and the book sold out they did an emergency printing to get them back into the stores. And that's just really a great start for a major business.
Does that feel really cool? I don't know. Just for you to say emergency printing gives me chills.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, whoa, yeah, emergency printing.
And, you know, and the interesting thing is, Nick, is that in the first part of your book, you talk about how innovation books, how to innovate are like diets.
Right, yeah.
And how they all fail.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's so many books on it, and yet yours seems to be hitting the right spot. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I think that, you know, first of all, this message is not just for my Fortune 50 clients. This is also for if you're a muffler shop, a pool shop, if you're a corner beauty parlor. Innovation is the driving force of success in business. And there, right now we're suffering in this country from what is essentially industrial Darwinism. The bottom line is that companies are filing bankruptcy at an unbelievable rate right now because they don't understand some of the basic ingredients that are in this book. And that is that innovation really and truly, I know it's an obscure term for many people that are, you know, in a smaller business, but innovation is the secret weapon that drives business success. And in a down economy, you need to understand the principles of what we call innovation superstars. And what do innovation superstars know, and how are they applying that to grow like crazy in this down economy? And that was really interesting to me. How do you survive in this economy? And that's why my book, I think, has done so well already, is that people need this formula to be able to apply it to their business now because it's become emergent.
Could you give us an example? Of course, many of our listeners, again, at this time of day, they're in and out of the shower, they're in and out of the car. If innovation, innovative playbook, could you give us an example and break that down for us?
Sure. Well, really what innovation is it's more than anything else, it is a delivery modality. It is a way in which you observe what people care about at a core level and then to take those observations and to turn those into customer value. Now, Guyton Pools here in Reading, for an example, great example of a company who has maintained sustained innovation. They have always maintained customer connectivity, and so they weren't taken out by the changes in the topography of the local environment. So really what innovation is about is how do we find out what customers care about, and then how do we turn that observation into something amazing that can blow them away? Seth Godin in his amazing book, The Purple Cow, he talks about the fact that being amazing and being excellent is underrated. Most people think they can be okay today. In the book, I talk about digital multipliers. If you're bad today, everybody knows it from one Facebook posting immediately.
Wow.
And it's scary to see how many companies have gone out in 24 hours because of one bad posting.
Isn't that interesting? Like, okay, again, I keep wanting to have examples, but when you take a bad posting, are you talking about somebody who maybe says something that's distasteful, or is it just about somebody spreading the word?
Spreading the word. If you are bad today, everybody knows it. The good news is, if you're great today, you can grow your business like crazy. And I have a local example we can talk about after the break.
Yeah, we need to take a break now. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the five secrets. I want to talk about the superstars. And then how some businesses, they innovate constantly.
Right.
I mean, their innovation is constantly, because you can even tell it when you walk into the building.
Right.
Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire, 8:14 in the morning. Hey, good morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Back on Brew. We're going to be there Friday for our town hall meeting at 2143 Hilltop Drive. We're going to be talking Proposition 19. And what do you think about it? There's a lot of people throughout the country that are really interested in Proposition 19. We want to talk about that, but Tobacco and Brew has got the finest walk-in humidor in the state, Espresso Joe's for coffee, and Joe and Shelley are great, great supporters of our community and our veterans. You couldn't ask for nicer people to do business with. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Currently 51 degrees. It's 8:15 in the morning. Going to be high today of 85. The weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. And right now, ta-da. Our guest in the studio live is Nicholas Webb, and we're talking about his recent book. I mean, actually, we're in a second printing. It just sold out instantly, and we had an emergency printing. It's called The Innovation Playbook.
Yes.
Welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And Nick's been on the show a couple times before.
Yeah.
We're talking about different things,
healthcare.
Healthcare.
Yeah.
That's right. And talking also about, you've also had a couple of symposiums.
Yeah,
in town talking about business. And by the way, I heard from people that went to that was really a great symposium.
Well, I appreciate hearing that.
They volunteered that they were at that. So
that's what I love to do.
Okay, the things are tough.
Yeah,
things are real tough, but it doesn't mean you have to fail. You're talking about a business right here in town that has been innovative.
Right. Well, you know, Sierra Nevada Brewery was one of our innovation superstars down in Chico. And the reason that they're an interesting company is that the beer industry is tanking. They're in serious trouble.
And why is that?
The average person that buys beer, conventional beer, they have less spendable income. And they're spending less money on beer.
Sure.
Despite the fact that the beer industry spends hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars a year to get them to buy more beer. Now, the reason I wanted to use Sierra Nevada Brewery as a case example is that here's a company that is 30 years old that understands that you have to be amazing. That's the message of this book. You can't be okay anymore. Good is now bad. And I know that sounds sensational. Good is bad. If you're not working right now to deliver delicious solutions to your customer, you're done. And trust me, I looked at 640 companies in researching this book, and I saw neat people, and I watched and read the stories of their families falling apart because their business failed because they just didn't follow the basic principles that I discovered in researching this. Now, Ken Grossman, the founder of Sierra Nevada Brewery, realized that he had to make the best product in the world if he wanted to grow. And I went to their 30th year anniversary, their town hall meeting, the chart was unbelievable. This hockey stick, they literally can't make beer fast enough. They can't grow fast enough. And do you know how much money they spend on advertising? Zero. That is incredible. Why do they do well? They do well because they deliver an amazing product. Now, here's the commitment, and this is the innovation commitment he had to make. He realized that to make an exceptional product, he had to deal with the most problematic raw component on the planet, whole cone hops. They're hard to manage, super expensive, but they make amazing beer. So he said, I don't care. The bottom line is, my job is to deliver an exceptional product. He's made that commitment, and he still uses, he does not use pelletized hops. He uses the real deal. And as a result of that, go to Beer Camp. Go to Sierra Nevada Beer Camp and look at the amount of people that are on there showing their YouTube video of their latest Sierra Nevada tattoo. When you're a company where people are tattooing you on their chest, and I'm not talking one or two, there are hundreds of people showing their Sierra. So that's my message. Don't create customers. Create devotees. Create a followership. Because when you do that, your cost to grow your business is less. You are taking away the risk of failure, and you're growing your business like crazy. And I show and teach those principles. In fact, in my book, when you buy the book, there is if you plug in the UPC code in the back, the ISBN code, there's a $150 training program that you get free with the book. And the superstars taught me. I thought I was, with 35 patents, I thought I was an innovation genius. I was humbled in the process of seeing what great companies. Another one, Snap-on Tools. They create products that are just unbelievable, and they're another good example.
And they have Snap-on Tools for girls.
Yeah, right.
They have a whole pink line.
Yeah. It's a neat company and another good example of what happens when you commit to building something quality.
Well, and your book is available at Barnes & Noble locally.
Yes, it is. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. Also, if you go to Amazon and you just type in The Innovation Playbook, it'll pop it right up, and it's now back in stock. It's only been out for a week, and as I said, we sold it our first production run, and it is on fire, and it's real exciting.
Okay, so with this book, I just have to ask a question because we know you're just an on fire guy. That's you walk in and you're already 5 years ahead of your next step. Within this year? What are your goals? And have you accomplished the goals you set out to do this year?
I am almost scary when it comes to personal goal setting because I know that when I set it, I do what I call a P plan. Like I'm on P52, and the P52 is my 52 year on planet Earth. What great things am I going to accomplish? Well, you know, having one of the largest publishers on the planet publish your book you got to realize they get 47,000 book proposals. They only take six, so that was a good one. Actually, I'm working on my second book called The Digital Media Innovation Playbook, which will be out as a follow-up to this book in September of next year. And that's pretty life-sucking, but that's really my main goal right now. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to have to take a break. When we come back, I want to ask about carpet time.
Yeah,
my favorite subject. Carpet time. I mean, we know kids like it, but there's other people that like carpet time,
right,
too. Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Nicholas J. Webb, author, local author of the Innovation Playbook, which is in its second printing after just the first week.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot to be said about things like that in today's market when you're talking innovation. Join us after these messages. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bot, 824. Good morning, my friends. October 20th. We're rapidly approaching into the month again, and then it's going to be Thanksgiving. Next thing you know, Bob will be dressed like a turkey running around here. Bad Bob, you just never cease to amaze me out there two-stepping this morning. Hey, this part of the show is brought to you by...
You dance with the boss once, and you're a marked man for life.
Hey, I tell you what, you dance with the boss, or you sit it out. This portion of the show is brought to you by BNT Satellite. Right off Airport Road, Doug Tooley, 244-1988. These guys put in the Dish Satellite TV. Surround sound, home theater systems. They do great work. 15 years in the business. Local. Buy local, stay local. 244-1988. Doug Tooley, tell them that you heard it on Free Fire Radio.
And we are very excited about having a superstar that actually does live local, that is really just amazingly setting the book world on fire with his new book, The Innovation Playbook. And, Carl, you had something about, what, carpet time?
Yeah, you know, something that, you know, and I have been reading the book, by the way.
Not
and
cool.
I get a lot of books, and some books I read, some books I don't. This one I did.
He does. He reads two and three at a time.
And it says, why CEOs need carpet time. It's good enough for kids. It's good enough for customers. What exactly is that?
Well, you know, first of all, before I answer that, I have this really bizarre hobby that I have made it. I have learned how to predict, that is, businesses in Shasta County that are going to go out of business. And I have 100% success rate. So it's real easy to see how people are going to fail. Yet internally, these companies don't get it. But as an expert, I look at them and say, you got 18 months. And sure enough, I drive by, vacant. So what they're missing, one of the major components they're missing, is when I decided to have children, and you guys had the, I appreciate the fact you met my family. And
Beautiful.
Thank
beautiful
you.
Children.
Yeah, I made a decision when my now 15-year-old daughter was a baby that I was going to come home from work, sit down my briefcase, sit down on the carpet, and spend what I called carpet time with her. And that was a tradition that started over 15 years ago, and it is now part of our family DNA. What that taught me is what my kids care about. There's a term called ethnography, and ethnography deals to people at their core belief. So what I learned from researching this book is that this practice that I had in trying to be a good father was a practice that great CEOs do. They have carpet time. They allow the internal people in their organizations, especially people in the front line, to participate in innovation. They allow them to come up with ideas in ways to layer the value and the experience. They bring in customers and spend time with their customers. They're connected. And developing carpet time, that ability to connect at what people care about at a core level, is centric to all successful businesses without exception.
Well, now, how do they do this? I see in one of the parts of the chapter is the safari.
Yeah, Innovation Safari
Innovation
is a great
safari,
thing.
Yeah.
One of the things that John Deere Corporation is a large example. I was so impressed with them. If you go driving down an Iowa road and you see a couple people playing checkers in front of a country store, there's a good chance that one of those people are a product developer for John Deere Company. That's a perfect example of what Innovation Safaris are about. Going out and really hanging with people. How does this tractor impact your family's finances? How easy is it to park? What about fuel economy? How are you increasing yields and productivity with this piece of equipment? Living with them and understanding them, again, at the level of ethnography, at that core anthropological belief, what matters. And every business that's in trouble today, they spend no time in really understanding the effect. In fact, one thing really quickly, I have a thing I talk about called contact point innovation. In-N-Out Burger is a great example. When you drive by In-N-Out Burger, you can smell it. Why? They have specially designed hoods that ship the smell out into the street so you come in.
Really?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What's the first thing that happens when you go there? You go to a lot of fast food places. They have a speaker the size of a quarter.
Right.
They have their original restaurants had a megaphone. Why is that important? Because it creates full duplex dialogue, the ability to communicate with clarity. It reduces mistakes, and it makes that experience better. Do you think that their employees are looking out the gigantic plate glass window to make that environment better for them? No. The big window where you see them making fresh French fries is all part of the theater of letting you know that you're getting fresh, delicious, clean food. That's what great companies do. They invent at every contact point. You need to understand how to do that in your business, or you will, trust me, fail.
Wow. So just, you know, it's funny that my sister came back from Tennessee. She said, "Well, where do y'all want to go? Eat lunch." And the first words out of their mouths were In-N-Out Burger.
Bingo.
And it's like In-N-Out Burger. I mean,
because they don't have them in the South.
They don't have them back in the East Coast. But they have read about them. They had heard about them. And this is where they wanted to go.
And they spend virtually no money on advertising. The only advertising they really do is to tell you how to get off the freeway to find one.
Right. Well, we're talking with Nick Webb, the author of The Innovation Playbook, and the great innovator himself. So you got a lot that you're going to learn today. Stick with us. This is Carl and Linda Bott here. Home of Free Fire Radio.
Yeah, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about the different chapters in the book, but also some other things, too. It's true customer value, process-driven innovation. Now, that's, you know, you would think, okay, it's innovation, it's process, but we're going to talk about this when we get back. And avoiding the pseudo-value trap.
Right.
Okay, Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Our guest is Nicholas Webb.
Morning, North State. How are you doing today on this beautiful 20th of October?
Yeah.
Full moon, great night.
Oh, yeah, it was a full moon last night.
Beautiful, clear days.
It was beautiful last night. Yeah.
Great time to walk on the trail and just really, you know, embrace how beautiful it is here in the North State. We're taking your call, 605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 on your dial. So sorry about the chat room. We are
maybe
working to get that together. We're talking about just what's happening in the whole tech world and the internet and
yeah.
All of that stuff. And we're also taking your emails at linda@kcnr1460. Our guest this morning is Nick Webb, and we're talking about his brand new book that had to have an actual emergency printing because it flew out the very first printing. It's called The Innovation Playbook: A Revolution in Business Excellence. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You know, Nick is also has a number of patents. Which,
yes.
And by the way, we use some of those products that that you have patents on. They're ergonomically better products for the kitchen.
Oh, the kitchen stuff.
It's something like a ice cream scoop or a little garlic press thing.
Yeah, so yeah, in fact, our pumpkin knife is one of the number one selling pumpkin knives. You know that?
Yeah. I don't know if we have one of those.
Oh, my gosh. I'll have to hook you up. Yeah. Now,
you know where we can get one?
Yeah. Coolfoodtools.com. I'll bring one in. I'm just kidding.
Well, they're selling in stores, too, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've seen them in a lot of stores around town.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
you can get them at Holiday Foods.
And right.
Yeah, that's where I see them.
Yeah, and that kitchen place, I believe, carries them as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Anyway, Nick has been doing this since you were, 20 years old?
Yeah, I've been in my first surgical scalpel when I was on a lifeguard tower in San Luis Obispo, happily, you know, sunning myself, and I had the opportunity to go to work with Star Surgical, and that started my inventing in the surgical space, and I went on to invent one of the world's smallest microsilicone implants for ocular surface disease, and I've really dedicated my life to understanding this unruly beast called innovation, and it's cool.
Now, after you did that, after you sold that, you opened up something then?
Yeah, I sold. I do what everybody does, right? You're 23 years old.
That's a great story.
Yeah,
I love the story.
Yeah. So I sold the company to Becton Dickinson, which is one of the largest medical companies in the country. I think I was 23 or 24 years old. So I sold the company for a lot of money, and I opened up a ski shop and bike shop.
That's what
everybody does, right? Yeah. And I think I lost most of the money I made off that deal, and started over again.
How to make $1 million in a bike shop? Start with three.
Yeah, right. Exactly right. Exactly.
Well, since then we have talked several times. We've run into each other at various places, and we find that when we talk with you and the subjects you bring up are really interesting to not only just us, but to businesses and just people in general. In your book, the Innovation Playbook, which we've already talked about how, you know, there's 1,000 innovation books,
yeah,
just like 1,000 diet books.
Yeah.
Most of them don't work, and you end up with the diet books gaining weight.
Yeah, right.
And the same thing with the innovation. But you did a lot of research on this and went to a lot of companies.
Yeah.
And you found that there's qualities that that innovation superstars have.
Right.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, you know, I must admit I've had a fairly good success rate with my inventions, I've had a lot of them tank. And when you lose lots and lots of money because of an idea that you thought was going to serve a lot of people, didn't work, it puts you in this zen-like state to where you really want to figure out what happened. So what I wanted to understand is there some anatomical features, some characteristics that these organizations have that are making wild amounts of money in a down economy? And it turns out that after looking at over 600 companies, they all have these five premises. First of all, craftsmanship. They sell stuff that's good. Now, I mean, that sounds ridiculous. You know, certainly there are price buyers that don't care about good stuff, but the true sustainable innovators are developing stuff and they apply craftsmanship. In fact, when I used the term craftsmanship and told my editor that I wanted to break it down into this, she said, you know, craftsmanship sounds like such an old-fashioned term, but if you look at Sierra Nevada Brewery, craftsmanship. If you look at In-N-Out Burger, craftsmanship. If you look at Snap-on Tools, craftsmanship. If you look at HP Garage Initiative, which we spent a lot of time at Hewlett-Packard, craftsmanship. You look, and I could go on and on and on. They make stuff that's good. Now, that sounds so simple, but that was one thing that they were committed to. Whatever it cost and whatever it was required, we deliver something that's magic. So that was definitely one of the superstar characteristics. Another one was collective passion. Now, collective passion is an important part of this, is that if you're going to be in the beer business, hire other people that love beer. Now, let me give you an example of what I mean by that. If you work for Sierra Nevada Brewery, Chico, California, do you know that with every paycheck, you get a beer buck, which entitles you to a case of their delicious beer? Do you know that if you work at Sierra Nevada Brewery and your back hurts, that you get to go to, get this, the company masseuse that works there full time? She shows up every day to rub people's back to make them feel good for working at Sierra Nevada Brewery. Really? Oh, but if you're not feeling good that day, walk across the street to the company-owned clinic. Now, this isn't a company that has 50,000 employees. They have 500 people there. So why is that collective passion? They bring in great people, and they treat them with tremendous respect, and all great companies get that. So those are a couple that really just sort of fly off the page.
Okay, we're going to have to take a break.
I like that. I can feel the flight.
Yeah, I can do that, too. And Bob is saying something. He's pointing at his back. He's talking about a masseuse already. You know. So thanks a lot, Nick. No, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back. There's just so many other parts of this book that, if you can take one part, master it, it could probably help your business. So much of it's interrelated. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about Hewlett-Packard.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 8:45 on October 20th. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. DC Tim and the Man in Black will give you great haircuts, great prices. If you're a veteran, they will give you a discount. And this is a place to get a haircut, not to get your hair gelled. All right? Man's Last Stronghold, you walk in there, Oprah or Dr. Phil will not be on the TV. Just good haircuts and great conversation. That's, you know, I like that place. That Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens. Our guest is Nicholas Webb, and we're talking about his new book, The Innovation Playbook.
Yes.
Now, we've got just a few minutes left here in the segment. Nick, what can people that are out there right now, you know, everybody's struggling. How can they use the book? What can they do to help their business?
Fire it up.
Okay, so the first thing you got to know is what not to do. And since this is Halloween, I'll give you a good example. It's like Linus sitting in the pumpkin patch, waiting for the proverbial great pumpkin to arrive. He's not coming. The economy's not going to get better soon. And I talk to a lot of the best thought leaders. You have to realize that this is probably the new normal for a while. So if you're sitting in your business today waiting for things to get better, you are actually on your way out. There, you have to understand how fast change is changing and how you apply, first of all, digital media strategies. And I know a lot of people have a hard time getting that. Even though they're a local business, they think that, the digital media is irrelevant to their business. And, of course, it clearly isn't. So the first thing you have to realize is that you need to become more emotive. You need to understand more about how you can layer value to your customers. Because right now we are in a bloodbath over who can provide the most value. There's a great book out called Free, Perfect, and Now. And unfortunately, that's the new value proposition. People want more things, they want speed, they want better value, and they want layerization of value. If you're not prepared to be the best in your business, you will not make it. And I've seen some neat people go south because they just thought that the old model was going to work today. You need to innovate, and you need to do it quickly.
No, no, we're okay. I'm just I'm having some people come in so they can listen to you and what you're saying here on innovations. So on the value of what the of what they have,
right?
So
you know, the first what's interesting to me is that most organizations, you got to ask yourself a few questions. How much time do you spend in ideation sessions? How much time do you go out and talk to the people who are in front of the customer most of the time and identify ways to add additional value? There's a great organization called California Guest Services, I believe is their correct name, and they do a lot of the concessions here for Alaska National Park and throughout the state of California. What they did is they developed an ideation session using poster boards, and they asked all of their employees, particularly employees that have high customer contact, what are the five things that we can do in order to increase the value that we deliver to our customers? And not surprisingly, it created over $1 million in new profit centers. See, the beauty of it is that we live in a universe that when we can provide exceptional layers of value, we are automatically rewarded. But most people have this internal, and I talk about organizational focus. Most organizations have an internal locus of focus. That focus is about how do we control risk? How do we increase profitability? How do we reduce staff loading? How us. Great companies know that all that stuff is window dressing if you don't have revenue. So revenue is generated by your ability to create ideation sessions, developing Safari X's where you go out and you find these amazing opportunities to serve your customer. And that is something that really is the best starting point. Figure out what your customers care about, not from what they say through focus groups, but at their core level of belief. All great companies do that. The other thing is make an organizational commitment to apply those observations immediately. Commit to being the very, very best. I know that sounds corny and kind of motivational.
No, it doesn't at all. You want to be the best.
You want to be the best, but how are you the best? You're judged based on the level of value. One of the things that people say, well, Nick, how is it that you've been such a successful inventor? I mean, you don't have a technical background, and you're inventing microsilicone implants for ocular surface disease? How is that possible? Listen, inventing is easy. The hard part is knowing what to invent. So how do you get to that? You get to it by being extreme. Like, I'll give you the perfect example. My wife says, Nick, we got a half a gallon of milk in the refrigerator. I'm thinking as a guy, oh, my God, we go through a lot of milk. But what she's saying is go buy milk, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what the problem is that we don't know how to speak our customer. And we have to do that through carpet time. We have to get truly connected. We have to honor the people that work for us, that are in front of the customer the most of the time, and provide a weekly, monthly ideation session to ask that very question. How can we layer value? How we're in a bloodbath for who's going to deliver the most value. How can we add more value? And all of these things are laid out in the book. And as I said, there's actually a video lecture series that you can get when you buy the Innovation Playbook. And it actually walks you through a lot of those techniques.
That's great. Okay, we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we want to finish up with some more stuff here. Our guest is Nick Webb. We're talking the Innovation Playbook, which went off the just flew off the shelves, yeah. And now they're into an emergency printing.
I'd like to find out, too, if you're going to come back into town here in Reading and do another lecture series.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Back down. No, I won't back down.
You can stand me up at the gates of hell.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. It's our last segment here. It's about 8:55. Hey, tomorrow we're going to have John Reed on running for city council, and our guest co-host will be Eric Wittstrom. And Eric's a good friend of ours, but also we're going to have on Phil Smith of KIXE, who's going to be talking about Democracy Now! And other issues. I like to have Phil on because it's always good to hear from the horse's mouth. And also with John Wright talking about what he wants to do as candidate for city council and what he would do if he got in there. It's a big day tomorrow. Plus, we have On the Spot with Linda Bott tomorrow night. So Linda is going to be getting ready for that. So,
It's going to be fun. Let's get back to the last 5 minutes of our program here and in the studio with us today. We've had a very inspirational moment with Nick Webb. Nicholas J. Webb on the top of his book, the latest and the current book, The Innovation Playbook, in its second printing. Hurry up and get it. It is at Barnes & Noble. They had an emergency printing to get the second out. And we are still, when you talk about stocking the big game, even if we talked about that earlier, I didn't quite get that. That's one of the features in the book.
Right. You know, I think that one of the biggest problems with people's personal goals, and it's certainly a problem with businesses, is that their sights are too low. They believe through incrementalism, and in fact, the term incrementalism or incremental innovation is a very common term in innovation that talks about, you know, painting it blue and calling it new. And that's what most people do with their businesses, and I'm telling you, it's not good enough. Right now, you have to scale way up. You have to change the trajectory of your cannon now, because a lot of the programs won't work and the markets are shrinking. So in innovation safaris and developing these different ideation sessions, what you really need to find is ways to scale up and to divide and to develop what I call layerization of value. And I can't tell you how many companies I've seen in looking around here, there's a lot of wonderful people that are unfortunately not recognizing. It's sort of like the old scientific experiment where they'll take a frog and they'll put it in a petri dish. And they'll gradually turn up the water, the Bunsen burner, underneath the petri dish. And that frog will literally boil to death before it jumps out because the water became toxic so slow that it didn't realize how bad its environment is. That is the best analogy of where we are as in an economy, is you are a boiling frog. You need to jump out before you check out, right?
Wow.
Well, you know, I wish you could hear, and we say this all the time, so please forgive me. You know, during the breaks, we talk about a lot of different things on today, innovation, how to talk to people. But we've got, like 3 minutes left. Last thoughts here. Yeah.
Well, first of all, innovation is a little bit of a stealthy, or that is a lofty term. It sounds like most people don't think they can apply it. I got a call. My book's only been out a week. I got a call from a rental yard. The guy said, I opened up the first chapter, applied what you said, and we created a new service product that was worth about $80,000 a year to us. That's the kind of stuff you have to do. You have to find a variety of ways to connect to your customer, observe what they care about, develop contact point innovation to where you're inventing at every point of that contact from the pre-touch. A lot of people don't realize the pre-touch is your digital brand. What does your digital brand look like? What does your digital reputation look like? What are you doing to protect and grow your digital community? We have Yamaha in this second book I'm working on, the Digital Media Innovation Playbook. And they show how they've grown their business by creating wonderful digital communities. What is that first experience like when somebody walks in your door or goes to your website? Most people don't realize that 80% of what we think about you is on that what we call first touch. And then when they're in your experience cloud, what's that experience cloud like? What does it smell like? What does it look like? How does it feel? So it's really important to make sure you control that cloud. And then what is the last touch like? Most of the time, when I have researched these companies, I find that they leave you with something you didn't expect, and it's always a good thing. And then the last component of contact point innovation is what I call in touch. How do we stay connected to them? Not to try to sell them something, not to try to hook them for something, but how do we really continually add value? That's what innovation is about. That's why it's one of the number one search terms for business today. It's all about innovation, innovation, innovation. And that means delivering new and improved value to their customers. So I think just don't let the fact that the term innovation, don't let that term scare you. This is about your business. No matter what size it is, you will find something in this book that you can apply today to get more connected. And again, become externally focused. Get rid of your internal self-centered focus. I mean, how many self-centered people have you met in your life that you liked? Not very many. It's people who are out there trying to add value to others that really earn that extra bit of value. And I was so glad to do this book. It was 6 years in the making, and to have it sell out in the first week, I think tells me that people really do care about this message.
Well, you know, we've got a wonderful caller who is a loyal listener. Jay, thank you so much. And his comment was, thanks for having this guest on.
Oh, I appreciate it.
You know, Nick, we'd like to have you back on again, you know, on a, you know, maybe a semi-regular basis so you can talk to us.
Let's
like
do
to
it.
Talk about maybe some of the things that you've recommended we have taken into our business, and we can talk about, wow, this has happened for us in the last 60 days because we followed these guides.
Perfect.
Okay, this is Carlin the Bot, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR Shasta, Redding.